find it slightly confusing for a moment, and that will remind you of when last we spoke about it. The Nordic language recognizes four orders of foreignness. The first is the otherlander, or Utlani, the stranger that we recognize as being a human of our world, but of another city or country. The second is the Frommi. This is the stranger that we recognize as human, but of another world. The third is the Raman, the stranger that we recognize as human, but of another species. The fourth is the true alien, the Varelsa. For with them, no conversation is possible. They live, but we cannot guess what purposes or causes make them act. They might be intelligent. They might be self-aware, but we cannot know it. Why are we talking about rings of inclusion? What's this about today? Because at the very least, the whole conversation in and about our world today has everything to do with this. Because of changes in our media and how programs are developed and distributed, and that most certainly includes the news, the disparity among us at every level increases at an accelerated rate. Because this ever-increasing disparity weakens us, as has been pointed out time and again as progressives, but far more importantly, it weakens us as a species. As long as true communication is alive, functional disagreement is a positive force. However, once we lose the necessary skills for sincere communication, division, divisiveness leads ultimately to war. Escalating war, as almost any baby boomer knows, leads to the annihilation of most, if not all, of the human species and many of our closest genetic relatives. This is not just about nuclear war, but any of our more advanced WMDs, which at this point may well include social media. Spending our attention on winning our arguments will distract us long enough to complete the degradation of our ecosystem, which will result in the exact same demise. Finally, if we're willing to relinquish being right and having to win arguments, we may, as a species, survive this era. Since the current state of intolerance of any opposing ideology leads to the intention to eliminate that ideology, which in turn leads to an increasingly escalating state of war, we must find a new way. This may require a willingness and ability to face the idea, the possible reality, of living with the other, our adversary, enemy, whatever you want to think of the other as being. Some may say republic, whatever. This conversation is intended to take a short look as some of the most prominent features of homogeneity and heterogeneity in human cultures, and why we may need to move beyond these sorts of dialectic thoughts and language and surrender to the reality that extinction may be a greater concern than winning our conflicts. I will say for the record right now, up front, that this ladder is possible to attain, even if understand, does anyone here not understand what a homogeneous culture is or what a heterogeneous culture is? A homogeneous culture is one in which everyone is kind of the same. We use usually a wonderful example of this is like Iceland. Iceland is a homogeneous culture. Sweden's a fairly homogeneous culture. Norway, the Scandinavian cultures are pretty homogeneous. Tunisia is a homogeneous culture, just to give a different example. So, homogeneous cultures seem to have happier people. That's the truth of it, friends. But I will tell you something else about homogeneous cultures. They're usually not very big. For example, the current population of Iceland as of April 3rd of 2019 is 339,878 people. That's pretty tight. Another thing that makes a homogeneous culture that we notice are generally general truths about homogeneous cultures are: the income level of the highest earning people and the income level of the lowest earning people in the culture are much closer together than in heterogeneous cultures like our own, where the earnings of the highest earning people and the earnings of the lowest level, lowest paid people are extremely disparate. Norway's population is about 5,400,000 people. Norway is expected to grow by about 52,000 in 2019. That's a big burst for them. And it will reach about 5,405,000 people by 2020. This is including immigration and emigration, which will increase the population. That alone will increase the population by 28,000 people. Now, one of the things that's going on in Europe right now, as well as here, is there are tremendous movements of refugees. And many of the European states were very invited, they let people in. And it's starting to get to a point, I don't know if you've been noticing this in the news, where it's beginning to develop some tension. We're going to talk about why that happens today, too. Current population of Denmark, again, about 5,700,000 people. And Denmark represents about 0.07% of the world population. Not 7%, 0.07%. Sweden's population is about 9,098,000 people, 9.98 million people. They've been letting a lot of refugees in too as well. The population of Slovenia is about 2 million people. These are all homogeneous cultures that have, for example, very high quality free education, which Slovenia does, which, by the way, up until recently, I'm not sure, somewhere in through here it's changing, has been open to you. You could go to Slovenia, move there, and for no cost get involved in a very high grade, high level education. The population in Tunisia, we see, you notice there's a trend, except for Slovenia, it's been growing a little bit, right? Is 11.78 million. The population in Tunisia, though, is not densely populated, with just 63 people per square kilometer, which ranks about 133rd. That particular population density. Now, who here knows about the top five? Who can give me the top five largest population, countries with the largest population in the world?
China.
China. Nigeria's on the list, but it's not them either. Come on.
U.S.
We are the third largest population on the earth, and it goes from China at 1.4 billion people, India at 1.3 little more billion people, U.S. 329 million. That's the drop. That's like turbulence in the air. Fix your head a little up. I spoke with a gentleman the other day from Nigeria, and Nigeria has 200 million, well, 201 basically, million people. And one city, Lagos, has 40 million people. That's pretty much Scandinavia, isn't it? In one city. It's remarkable. He said that the traffic is unbelievably bad at times. And he thinks that our traffic here is really greasy and wonderful. And I was in his lift at rush hour. Okay, so stop complaining. Now, why is it easier? Why is life easier in homogenous cultures? What do you think?
More the same.
People have the same history. The people have the same stories that people have. They look the same. They sound the same. I dare say, to some extent, they smell the same. Okay? This makes life very easy.
Less competition for resources and space.
Less competition for resources and space. Yes. So, if you want an easy next life, you know where to go. But you're here. So I'm going to assume you chose to be here. I know not everybody in the room agrees with me on this particular point. But you do now, because you're here. You get left any time, but you're here in this room, and I think we're in America still. Being an American today. It is easier to be a member of a homogenous culture or country. Homogenous cultures tend to be smaller. They also tend to speak the same language, have extremely similar, relatively speaking, historical perspectives. Virtually everyone knows what is expected of them and how to deliver on that expectation, and they are, in short, in rapport. Now, one of the pieces I had for you had actually definitions of rapport. But suffice it to say, it has to do with concert, being able to get along, connection, relationship. It's easier. In heterogeneous cultures, it is tremendously hard. And I've got to tell you, friends, this is probably the most heterogeneous culture on this planet. So, part of what comes with that is whereas we have a little technological edge and we've got some really nice stuff, life here is kind of hard because there's a tremendous amount of disagreement. And we have developed this system. See, this democracy didn't come out of a vacuum. It came because when the play started, when the United States part of this place started, it started with a bunch of different people coming here. And a bunch of those were a bunch of Europeans who didn't get along that well. They had disputes over the new territory that they had discovered. I love that phrase, discovered. It's hard to live in America today because we are the largest and hence most impacted heterogeneous culture. It is harder to trust people who you cannot understand. If you've ever been in a room with people and you're talking to those people and then they stop in the middle of talking to you and they turn to other people that look more like them, and they start talking to each other in a language that you have no idea what they're talking about, I'll tell you, I don't care what kind of social justice warrior you are, it's going to make you nervous. Because you don't know. Spanish-speaking people or Arabic-speaking people or people of the First Nations, because it's... Who would you choose to understand? Here's what I mean. In other words, if you wanted to learn a second language right now, you could probably pick one of those and do a decent job of it over time. But could you do the next one? Could you, after you learn Spanish, which I'm going to assume those of us in California would probably do first, could you then think of Arabic and do it? And then when you're done with that, let's be real, you need to start learning some of the language of the First Nation people. Not that you get to use it that often, but how about the people from the East, the Far East, and the Middle East? That's kind of what you would have to do in America to be fluent with it, with most of the people here. And that's changing. Who's going to pick that up and do it? Can I get a, anybody? Somebody? Come on. That's how hard it is. That's how hard it is. This is not an easy place to be. We have to find ways to get through what could be a communications issue. How can we really expect to understand and have openness to all of the most recent arrivals from far, from the Far and Middle East, if you can't even fathom the thinking of your European brothers and sisters? Because most of the people in this left-right wing business are people of European descent. And they're not getting along that well. Are the reasons behind this, and here again is one more example of how your mind is not your friend, sufficient to threaten violence? In other words, the disputes that we have are coming to violence. Has anybody noticed that? I mean, it's the scale is really ramping up, and it's ramping up pretty fast. So when I stand here and I say to you, and I talk to you about the possible extinction of humanity, Reverend Marsh has some pretty out there ideas, and he doesn't lay a lot of them on you. But that's one. And I'm not just pulling that out of the hat to rattle your cage. I mean, I think that's a distinct possibility. But to vote, it's a vote. It's a vote that you can make without, literally, you could probably make it without opening your mouth, because it happens here. So I'm going to tell you what's on the ballot. You don't have to say a word to the room about this. What's on the ballot is, do you in your heart know that we are worth existing? Because that's where the change, that's the little pivot point in there. If you believe we are not, you are right. If you believe we are, you are right. You need to have a discussion with your this. Be careful of your this. Has anyone ever heard me say this before? Your mind is not your friend. Do you? Those of you that have heard this from me probably know what it means, but I will tell you in simple language. Your mind will play some really ugly tricks on you. Your ego will play games with you, and it does it because its job is to help you to survive. But you know what? It's a funny catch-22 thing, because the things that it does ask yourself, have a real communication with yourself. See, that's where it starts. I think it starts as close as you can possibly get. One more time. Apocalypse is from a Greek word. The meaning of that Greek word is to reveal. It means to reveal. It doesn't mean end of the world. Everybody thinks, oh, that means the end of the world. No, that's Armageddon. It's different. Actually, that's even that name of the place. But it means to reveal. So now is the time for you to start right here at home and reveal where you're at with this question. Now, here's why I tell you. Here's why I tell you this. I have a lot of friends from a lot of different age groups. Just admitting it. And one thing I can tell you about some of my millennial friends is some of them have a very, very, some of the most wonderful people I know have an extremely cynical view of humanity. I was talking to one about, like, what's the feasibility of getting to Mars and landing and living on Mars? And they would come back to me and they would say, no, we do not need to take this stuff anyplace else. They said, we've done this here, we've ruined this place, we don't get to go anywhere else. If this takes us out, that's it. I think I've talked to you about my cousin who's very angry. I know I have, I do often. He's a wonderful teacher for me. He's what they call an upa guru. An upa guru is a teacher who teaches you through not fun stuff. And he won't recycle anything. You know, when I'm in Chicago visiting, I take all recycling out for the year. And he won't do it. And I ask him why. He said, we didn't make this. They made this. I am not cleaning it up. I say to him, I say, but you realize when all this stuff, we use more colorful language too, catches up with us, it's going to take us all out. He says, well, then that's just fine. Let it take us all out. And that, my friend, is an angry man. It sounds kind of funny, but I got to tell you, that is not funny because he is not alone. He is not alone in that perspective, and I know that. How can we establish true communicative connection? There are few rules to this, but we can do the hard thing, and this is the part we avoid, I think, most often, which is we can do the hard thing and apply some new thought and creativity. Get out of the box. Look into yourself and make up how you do it. And then try it on the person next to you. Try it on yourself. You do have to communicate with yourself. And you do have to pay attention to how you talk to yourself. Laws are what suffice when adequate intention or resolve is not present. These only last for a while. And we are currently in that segment of time where what is really so for us, beneath the rules we have erected, will come to the surface. That's what you're seeing. You were born in a land that, despite its technological advancement, is a difficult land to live in. The upside to this is that you have easy access to numerous people who seem to disagree with you. So you don't have to stray far from home to find a partner to lab work, experiment with on this. One of the slides that I wanted to show you today was me and my friend Rich Haas. Rich must be, he's somewhere in his 80s now, and Republican from Colorado, and we are like this. We work together building, working on houses, and he's a master carpenter, and I so appreciate what I hear from him. And we don't agree on hardly, well, that's not true. I was going to say we don't agree on anything hardly politically, but that turns out not to be true. Because this dyed-in-the-wool Republican and myself can have conversations, wonderful conversations about stuff. We start off and he'll say something about like, well, you know, Obama did this thing, and then, you know, and it's going. And it's off. And, you know, and then sometimes you're right, you know, Obama did do this thing or that thing or whatnot. But when it all comes down to it in the end, it's so unimportant, the conversations that we have politically, because we actually live together. See, that's different. And you can sit down at the table, you can have all the disagreement you want and still pass the butter. So, this is part this of this, and the next time we're going to extend it, and we're going to talk about how this actually impacts this congregation, how we are involved in this. How we are we a heterogeneous or a homogeneous culture?
Heterogeneous.
You think so? We'll see about that. Good. So I'll meet you back here next month. We don't get